Good morning, Rock Bible Church. It's great to see you this morning. Okay, I guess it's one-sided. Good morning. Half the people walking around still. Thank you for being a happy bunch. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Guys, I think my mic's a little hot because I'm loud enough as it gets.
Too hot, Scott.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She definitely has a membership card. Exactly. It's a great time for us to be close to the Lord culturally with some of the things that are going on. And I think it's our greatest investment to pursue him in the midst of all the different types of conversations that are going on and all the different sides. But you get tired of sides. Yes. I like to think when somebody says, are you on this side or that side? I say, well, I'm trying to be on God's side, right? Do you want to live in a patriarchy or a matriarchy? I want to live in a theocracy, right? And a godriarchy, okay? And that means we have to pursue God. We have to search for him. We have to make an effort, look for him in hopes of, get your outline out, flip it over, in hopes of finding Jesus. Right? This was a little bit of a weird week for me, this passage. We're going to meet Simeon and Anna, and then Jesus is going to get lost. And it's a weird set of three little stories. And it was kind of hard for me, like, where do we go with this? And it's been preserved for all of time up to this day. We're apparently supposed to have it. Good Lord and his Holy Spirit has made sure. So we got to look at it and let's see what we can take from it. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to find out how to find Jesus, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you that not only do you have answers, you probably are the origin of the questions. And I pray, Lord, that we would not fear, as we just sang a few moments ago. And pray for this passage, as there are some characters that could have feared, and yet they took a different approach. And I pray, Lord, you would show us the approach you want us to have when we pursue you. And so we pray that that's what our time would be about this morning and these next few moments in your word, guided by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all his church said, amen. Amen. As if that's exactly what God wants for us. We're Luke chapter 2. For some of you who are like really, you have a chart and you're paying attention and you're like, Scott, what happened to verses 1 through 21? I'm going to ask you a reciprocal question. Where were you at Christmas? We did the Christmas story this year. We used Luke. It's a great story. I hope you know about it. I'm a little sad that the decorations have come down, but we kind of still, okay? Because I think Christmas should be all year, which is why I had a little problem with Julie Saturday. She said we had to take Christmas down. It was not good. Six trees, 14 boxes, whatever. And it's like, can we just leave it up? Apparently, no. I just would love for Christmas to always be around. But we did cover it, and so we're moving on. And Jesus is now born. Jesus is, well, we're going to find out, a few days old. Exactly 8, actually, it says, because of tradition, and I'll explain that when we get into the passage. And they're going to go up to Jerusalem, to the temple, for some ritual stuff, according to Levitical law. And we're going to get in that too. We're going to meet some people today on the journey. We're going to meet Simeon. He's an old guy, maybe a prophet, maybe not. Not really clear, but he does. He's apparently an artist because he's going to break into song. And then we're going to meet Anna. Anna is absolutely a prophetess because it's going to say that in the passage. Anna's going to have some things to say. And then after that, we're going to like take a hard right and be out in left field because Jesus is going to get lost. How do you lose Jesus? Right? You ready? Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Here we go. And when time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. What's that mean? Well, it's written in the law of the Lord that every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So they're going up for a little ceremony, baby dedication, if you will. I know it's not exactly what it is, but closest thing we have to it. And to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. So apparently, firstborn, every time you go to the temple, you need four of these birds. Okay? Two and two?
Four.
Yeah, four. A pair? Didn't I say four? Four birds?
It says or.
It says or.
Oh. Man, you know what? It's funny because I've been looking at this passage all week. And I just had it in my head that it was four. Hey, you get a discount, right? Half off. This is the rule, the law. There's also another one coming up here. Here we go. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I want to accentuate that because we're going to come back to it, especially when we get to the fill-ins. What's consolation? What I do Saturday with my with Julie, my wife, and the ornaments and the lights, and we consolidated it all. It's gathered together. Bring it back. There's one section of the garage that is unified Christmas area, right? Wants to bring unity back to Israel. Why would you need to bring unity back? Because they were scattered, separated, 12 tribes not doing well, fighting over all kinds of stuff. Good thing that didn't seep into the church, and we don't have any problem with that today. Right? People are people. So why should it be that we get along so awfully? He says, look, we gotta come back together, be unified. What a great message for culture today. Right? They're waiting for, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Love that phrase. Wish I knew more what that meant. But there's something about when the Spirit comes on somebody, like David, we learned about in 1 and 2 Samuel, like Samson, Book of Judges. There's something when the Spirit of the Lord comes on somebody, it's like, ooh, something good's going to happen. It had been revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. That's better than any deal I've ever had, I think. You get to see the Messiah. And he came in spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, is like Adonai, would be the translation. We're loosely doing look at the names of God through this, right? Adonai, or father figure God. Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your... Love this. Because the Jews from this point on, they're going to look at Jesus as some kind of king, some kind of military, that he's going to solve some other stuff. But right from the very beginning, Simeon knew, he's here for salvation, right? That you will that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for, what's that one?
Revelation.
What's revelation? You know, people talk to me about revelation about as often as any other topic as a pastor. They never use that word, revelation. They never say, Scott, I just wish the Lord would reveal to me. They never even use it that way. What do they say to me? I just wish I knew God's will or what he wants me to do or what's important to him. There's always like, I want a revelation. Great, we're in the same business as he is. And for glory to your people, Israel. Wow, we get a know, we get salvation, we might get some unity. This is a really pretty good combo meal. And watch what he says now. And his father and his mother marveled at what he said about him. And Simeon blessed them, said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed, watch this, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Wow. Fall and rising. I like before when it was three pieces of really good news, right? I said good combo meal. What happened? Where did fall come from? It gets worse. And for a sign that is opposed. Simeon knows from the beginning. Will there be universal acceptance of the Christ? No. Because everyone has to lay down something to give over lordship to a Savior. What it means is you have to let someone else be in charge. And people say, whoa, what does it mean to be a Christian? Oh, well, and we got a bunch of great phrases for it that are confusing as heck to everybody else outside the church. Well, I gave my heart to the Lord, right? Here's the one I try not to use anymore because it's too confusing. Well, it means I've been born again, right? Now, Zacchaeus even knew. He told us in one of the passages, like, how does that happen? Get born again, right? I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. We have all these weird ways that, like, people look at us and go, what are you talking about? I got to go get my hair done, you know? Not me. I told him earlier, I was like, I'm so jealous of your hair. I mean, it looks great, but just that he had some. Like, anyways. But one of the things, one of the best ways to say it, is I've given over control to God. Even better, I've realized that God is in control and always was. And I'm working on figuring that out. And then you need to use the fun word when you explain it. And I'm having fun with it. Because there's two options. One not so good. The other one is, I just said it, fun. It really is. I love the idea that that he has defined reality. He orchestrates reality. And we like to think of, because we're consumers as Americans, especially as Christians, we want options, right? Choice of a new generation. Yeah, right, Pepsi. You're just trying to market to me. No, we love to have choice. But I am enjoying and exploring and asking questions about the idea that there are no choices in reality. There's one reality. That's, and some of us don't like it. It makes us cry. Right? It's the voice of the Spirit right there. Okay? Right? Speaking truth. So this can be rough for some people. And then watch what he says to Mary. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Now, I'm a little confused. How does a sword pierce a soul? I don't know how to get my soul out and have... I have a sword on that wall in my office, and we could get Doug, and like, Doug, can you pierce my soul with that? How did you can?
Sounds awful.
So is it literal? Say no. It's figurative. Now what's he essentially saying is, Mary, you're going to have a hard time with this too. How about we all acknowledge that Christianity is hard? Following God is difficult. There are mysteries and unknowns. Sometimes it's costly or hurts. There's betrayal in it. Anybody else have knife wounds in their back? I got a few. Right? Slight and momentary affliction. When we get back to the fun part. Because you can get distracted, derailed by difficulty. Or what? Move forward. Look for the positive. Look for Jesus. Find Jesus in it. I think one of the best things that has happened to me is realizing when negative happens, it may be from the Lord, / it's from the Lord, and how can I find him in it? Why, Lord, am I dealing with this? I used to like to say, not fair. I remember what Dad always told me. Fair does not exist. It doesn't. There's no such thing. So let's get beyond our little arguments. Whatever we think is piercing us like a sword. And let's move on to accepting his reality. That's the only way. And it's fun, remember, right? Verse 36, there was also a prophetess, Anna. Okay, second story. Daughter of Phanuel, tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. By the way, don't say that about a woman. I was just like, hey, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, what's she like? Well, she's advanced in years. No, it doesn't go well. Okay. Tribe of Asher, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, so she got married, and then she was married for 7 years, and then a widow, what happened 7 years into the marriage? Ish, okay. And then as a widow until she was 84. Now, please don't look this up or try to figure this out. Hebrew math is difficult and confusing, and so there's a couple things this could mean, okay. Could mean that she was married for 84 years, just the first seven. The whole time was 7 years plus widow time combined is 84. See how confusing it is? Or it could be that she was 14 or 15 when she got married, then she was married for 7 years, and then she was a widow for another 84. That puts her in her hundreds. So we have a lot of scientific questions are kind of, how do we figure out, stop. She was old. It was a long time. Okay. At minimum though, we're going to go with 60 something. Okay. 60 something years of being a widow. That's the minimum. If you do the math, I did it through three different ways. Okay. All right. And I actually passed my math classes. Right, Gene? Long time, and watch this, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping, fasting, and prayer. Why'd she go to the temple? Is there passing out free food? No, she's fasting. I'm cracking up this morning. I'm down in the parking lot making sure, because we got service going on across the street, funeral, a whole bunch of people. Right? One of the police officers recognized me. He starts coming across the street. Hey, I heard you guys got coffee over there. I was like, oh, I love it. Right? Yeah, come on in. We make it by the gallons. Right? Why are you coming to church? Oh, I got free coffee. No, she's not. She's coming to the temple because she wants to worship. She wants to pray. And she thinks that fasting will enhance that, which it does. Is this a good prophetess? Yeah, we're very much liking her. Okay, next slide. Worshiping, fasting, and praying, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, this is when Jesus has come as an infant. Joseph and Mary bring her in. We've just seen Simeon. Now she sees him. And she began to give thanks to God. Yahweh. And to speak of him to all who were waiting for the, what's that word?
Redemption.
That's kind of interesting. Because didn't we had consolation? That's like unity, right? What else did we have? Big old shun word, right? Ends with shun. What was the one of the other ones? Salvation, right? Okay, good, Lisa. I saw you say it, but no one else heard you. We had consolation, redemption. Do we have another one? Say yes. Here we get a fourth one. Redemption. What's Anna looking for and putting her around people that are looking for? What's redemption? I mean, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? That's a verse. How do you know if you're one of those? You got to know if you're one of those to be able to say that you're one of those. Scott, I don't know if I'm redeemed. What's redeemed? Yeah, forgiven. Or most simple word for it, cleaned. Right? What's one of the best parts of salvation? You got clean. Right? Now, you have a Savior, but what did Savior do to you? Well, he saved you, but he also made you redeemed, brought you back. Right? We might not have consolidation, and unity, but we might have some people who have made the journey already and they're just waiting for others to join. Yet to be able to call it unity, yet to be able to call it consolidation, but some people are on the train and they've arrived because they're searching for the Lord. And she wants to make sure everybody knows. Is she an evangelist? Say yes. Well, it says she's a prophet. Yes, what do prophets speak? Truth. Why? So people can hear it. And what's the goal of truth being heard by those who are yet to know God? The answer is in the question, that they might know God. Absolute prophetess, absolute evangelist. Verse 39, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. All right. So we're 8 days old. We've done the circumcision thing. We've done all the rites and rituals. And now we go back to Galilee. Right? Time machine. Here we go. Verse 41. Now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when he was
12.
We just lost 12 years. Would have loved to know what Jesus did in his terrible twos, right? Or entering his teenage years, and they went up according to custom. When the feast was ended, as they were returning back to Galilee, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. They're pretty far apart. Anybody been to Israel? Oh, we got to go. Was that just three hands? Four, five, maybe six. That's an imperfect number. We have to get to seven. It's biblical. We might need to go to Israel. Anyways, they're very, okay, John got us to seven. Great. Now, great, you just ruined our trip. Now we don't get to go. Yeah. So Galilee, way up north, 10 cities, very Roman, very secular, Gentiles, and we go way down south, and there's Jerusalem, right? It's not all the way south. If you want a really good explanation and a map and clarity, just ask Jean. She taught it for like a decade and a half to our junior high kids, last church we worked at. So very far away. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem after the feast of... Skip down. He was missing. They didn't know that he stayed in Jerusalem. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. How long? For a whole day. Wow. How do you miss your kid for 24 hours? Right? When they were... But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. What just happened? They lost Jesus. Oh, that's so great. Comedy. Until it happens to you. Street fair, Pleasanton, 24 years ago. Hey, where's Johnny? Uh-oh. Here comes officer holding Johnny. Is this your son? Did you want to keep him? The officer was nice and sarcastic, but basically was like, hey, keep track of your kid. What are you doing? Failed to learn the lesson, moved to Arkansas a year or so, something later, and the kids wanted donuts. And we go into the Krispy Kreme, and we're having fun. Ooh. I don't know what's going on in Cyrus's mind. There's a thing full of donuts here, every color of glaze and sugar and every kind of, and next thing you know, we look around like, where's Cyrus? Oh, no. I go running outside. It was one of those two-door things, right? In the South, you got to have two doors because you need a little space in between the wicked outside world heat or cold and the nice inside, right? I bust through two doors, and here's an officer holding Cyrus. Is this your son? Did you want him back? This one, not so nice. Gave me a lecture. Do you know what can happen to your kid when you don't keep track of them? Do you know that people kidnap them? It was, she was not nice. He, the guy with John, he was nice, he was funny. She, I don't like her. I've been handed my kid twice by police officers. Have never lost them since. Biting my tongue on that one. How do you lose Jesus? They didn't find him. They returned to Jerusalem. How long did it take them to return to Jerusalem? Another day. It was a day's journey out. They got a day to get back. I think the trip back was faster. I'm just as a parent, I'm guessing. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple. How long did they look for him? Day out, day back, and then they were there and had to look for him. They were looking for him in Jerusalem. They're going through the streets, going all like, where? Took him a day, but they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them them questions as a 12-year-old. This is where I really like my Savior. He's fun, right? Stump the band, and he's winning. And all who heard him, verse 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. This one messes with me. I know it's a cute story, and we make jokes, and I tell you about police officers, right? But you know what you were just told? God has answers. Even at 12. Bring the best and the brightest. And he's got answers. He's got great questions too. That's important to me, and it hurts. Makes me emotional. Because I got questions. And I've had questions. And I know in my future, there will be questions, right? Some of them that I'll never answer. And I will stand before the Lord one day before I get answers to some of those questions. And I hate that. I want to know, I want to be right, and I want control. And that's one of the things that I have to give over to God. Back to the story. Joe and Mary, Joseph and Mary, they find Jesus. He's teaching the teachers. When his parents saw him, verse 8, they were astonished, of course. And his mother said to him, "Son, why is it always mom?" Right? I picture Joseph just standing behind her. Facial expressions, yeah. Right? I don't know for you. For me, it was always mom. Right? Mother said, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I." And have you ever gotten that one? Your father and I. Oh my gosh, that's like, we've kept that tradition. Right? It's not, I was. No. Got to blame it on dad. "Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Sounds like a good little lecture for a little boy. And he said to them, you think Jesus heard what she just said? Does Jesus have a sense of humor? A sense of irony? You know, all of that, humor, irony, all of it, it's based in what? Do you know this? Why are comedians funny? Because there's truth in it, right? Comedy, irony, parables, songs, art. The part we connect with is truth. Here's 12-year-old Jesus listening, paying attention, and heard what she said. Watch this. I'm wondering if you've seen this before. I love this. He said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" What's he saying? You don't have to look for me. Just come to the temple. Oh, you and dad were stressed? I was with my dad. Your father and I? His is very little subtle response. I said, "Actually, I was with my father." Now, is that a slight on Joseph? Say no. But it's a clarification of, you don't have to look for me. You need to know where I am. And you need to know who I am. And let's always remember who Daddy is. I love that. There's a subtle, it never gets emphasized in this story. Right? When we read this story, especially all the other times I've read this story, it's like, oh, Jesus, he's a teenager, he ran off, irresponsible, blah, blah. Joseph and Mary, the bad parents, and da-da, or they're confused, whatever. And Jesus having this, like, very sovereign moment with them. Oh, actually, I'm in my Father's house, and this is about the temple. Yeah, it's also a little bit, let's clarify who Father is. Let's clarify who God is. Let's get back to reality, back to truth. Most of the time... All of the time that you're stuck, it's a truth issue. I want you to take that one, tuck it in the back, and I want you to play with it for a while. Okay? Why are you looking for me? I was with my father. And they did not understand. We have the... privilege of 2,000 years of scholarship, and we see how this story plays out. At that time, I know I would have been confused. What's Jesus doing? What's going on? You're stumping Pharisees and teachers of the law and scribes, and then now you're telling me you're in your Father's house and that we shouldn't have to look for you? Very confusing. Didn't understand the saying. Now he spoke to them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. Nazareth, I thought he was going to Galilee. Galilee's an area. Nazareth is one of the towns. So for your friends that like to see the Bible contradicts itself, they just sometimes need a geography lesson. Okay? Back to Nazareth, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. By the way, exit Joseph the scene. Last time we hear of Joseph, actually, he didn't even have a speaking part in this play. He's there for the birth. Then we see him when Jesus is 12. And then after that, there's no more mention of him. Now, you can look up extra biblical stuff and find tradition on all that stuff. Be careful with that. A lot of it's made up. Who's the Father? God is. Interesting that Joseph's no longer there. And Jesus increased in wisdom, verse 52, and in stature and in favor with God, Yahweh, amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? Okay, three stories that are, well, the first two are kind of similar. Third one's very different. You're preaching. Go ahead. I started looking at it and going, hey, these are all people that were looking for Jesus, searching for Jesus, and then they all found Jesus. How'd they do it? Very different experiences for all three of them. Very different set of questions all three sets had, that being Simeon, Anna, and then Joseph and Mary. But I want us to see what commonalities can we find, or what things were compare, contrast, different for when they were successful and when they failed. Because Joseph and Mary are going to fail. I keep wanting to call Simeon Zachariah, and I don't know why. But if Zechariah comes out, know that I'm speaking of Simeon, okay? I've caught myself three times now. You don't know this, but that's what's going on in here, okay? Simeon failed for a little while, or thought he was failing, because he was waiting a long time. Anna as well. Did she wait for a long time? Remember we said maybe at minimum 60-something years? Yeah? Anna's got even bigger questions. Gave me a husband for 7 years, and then I'm a widow for how long? What's going on with that deal? How'd she get through that? How'd Simeon get through his thing? How did mom and dad, in their great distress, push through? I know it's a physical finding of Jesus, but there's a spiritual too, and Jesus is trying to draw light to that and saying, oh no, Father wasn't stressed. Father was in his house with me, and Father never gets stressed. Very interesting. So how do we find Jesus? Let's look at the first one. Here we go. Look for, first villains, God T. God thoughts. Would God thoughts fit in there? What are some other words that start with T that would fit in this sentence? If you were going to find Jesus, what would you need to look for? God truth. Love that one, especially since we accentuated earlier. There's thoughts, there's truth, there's another T. Sorry? Today, look for God today. Okay, that speaks to timeliness. When should you do it? Today, right? Today is the day that the Lord has made. If we put all of those things into one category and gave it a very broad word that start with T, what have you been doing today, Scott? I don't know. In our family, the kids, they love this. I have yet to know why this was so fun for them. Hey, what'd you do at school today? Nothing. Stuff and things. Like what? How's math class? I don't know. What'd you do? Stuff and things. And sadly, it caught on with the other two, all three of them. It became one of their favorite answers. What do you want to do tomorrow? I don't know. Stuff and things. This is not an answer. Because it's this broad, overarching, encompasses everything. You got to look for God things. I think it was one of the things, let's use the word again. One commonality between Simeon, Anna, and Joseph and Mary is they're all pursuing stuff, right? I drew attention to the consolidation of Israel, bringing stuff together. Is that a God thing? Is that what God wants? Yeah, and Simeon was looking for it. And he also was looking for salvation. He was also looking for redemption. Those are the three words that I pointed out to you. Then with Anna, Anna said, hey, all you redeemed, those are waiting for the redemption. That's a God thing. You want to find Jesus in your life, in an area, in a question, in a pain, in a joy, in a future hope. Figure out where are his things in that? Does God care about poor people? Yes. Yeah, does he care about homeless? Yeah, so can you find God things in that? Like, it's why we build homes in Mexico, right? Does God want other people to learn how to worship, pray, and fast? Yes, yeah, so we do evangelism. We invite them to church. Those kind of things, which, by the way, I just gave you more God things that Anna was doing in the temple for maybe 84 years. Worshiping, fasting, and praying. I want to find Jesus. Well, I got to do his stuff, right? You could change things to stuff if you wanted. Look for God songs. Look for God art. Look for God passages. Look for God devotional. Look for God podcast. Look for God people. I had not thought about this. Today was the first day I thought of that. Look for God today. I'm forgetting who said that, but A plus, extra donut hole for you. Look for God. Joseph and Mary, what are they looking for? Hey, where's my relatives? Where's my acquaintances? Well, let's look for them on the path. Are they looking into God things? No, they're not. When they finally get back to Jerusalem, why do they go back to Jerusalem? Well, that's the last place we saw them. Were they looking for God things? Not so much. Then they look around for a whole day in Jerusalem. When you lose something or someone, I know I shouldn't be preaching about this because of the two police officers I mentioned earlier. Where's the first place you go? The last place you saw them. Mom and Dad taught me that when I was barely old enough to speak. Where's the last place you had it? Go there first. Joseph and Mary, there's no way they went to the temple first. Because it took them a day once they got back to Jerusalem. They failed to look for God things, God type stuff. And I think that's part of the reason when Jesus responds and says, wait, I was in my Father's house. You never need look. Go where Dad is, you'll find me. You want to find Jesus? Tell me about your prayer life. You want to find Jesus? Tell me, like, what are the God things that you are committed to? Right? We do rituals in the church, right? First Sunday of the month, we put a table and the bread. And why do we do that? Well, because Jesus said do that often. Okay, that's one reason. Why did Jesus say to do it often? Why would he make that command? To help us regularly do God things, because otherwise a man left to his own leads to destruction. We go sideways. I think it's true about women too. Just never been one, okay? Met a lot of them. I never met a human on the planet who's tried and true all the way. We get off. And how do we get back? As we find ways to pursue Lord. I love that it said they've been searching and waiting and stuff. Right? Because they're looking for him by looking through his stuff. Number two, look through SD. Worship, fasting, prayer, serving, tithing, spiritual disciplines. Simeon could have waited anywhere. Anna as well. But they go to the temple and they go to worship. Joseph and Mary finally figure it out. And Simeon actually forecasts this, I think, prophet. He says, you know, it's going to pierce your soul too. It's going to be difficult for you because you're going to need to learn some new patterns as part of that. And 12 years in, they're still learning the new pattern. Folks, I've been a Christian since junior high. Over 40 years. How long have you been a Christian? You don't need to say it out loud. My experience is limited to 43 years of Christianity. I am still and will continue to learn patterns and find out where I am wrong. I hate it And I'm learning to love it at the same time. It's the weirdest dichotomy. How do I learn more about the Lord? Pursue him. I look for his stuff and then I do his things. What are his things? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. There's all like, those are fruits of the Spirit, right? Then we could talk about the armor of God. We could do those things. We could talk about spiritual disciplines. When's the last time you fasted? Don't answer that question out loud. Okay? When's the last time you prayed for something other than yourself? When's the last time you served for more than 15 minutes? When's the last time you served till you sweat? When's the last time you donated? And I don't mean money to the church. I mean, when's the last time you sacrificed something for someone else that cost you something? As when we do, we start to have David experience, like, I will not offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing, Ahaz. I'm buying this grain mill, and I'm going to pay you for it. And then we're going to do a sacrifice to the Lord. So I'm going to give stuff that costs me stuff to you. Then I'm going to give stuff that costs me stuff to the Lord. And I'm going to realize that my stuff is actually not costly because it has very little value. Now I'm getting back to center of understanding, where do I need to be? You people who are, let's say, less than sing worship people, you know, like worship song, you've never been in a band or anything. When's the last time you turn on your radio and listen to a worship song? Well, it's not really my thing. It could be. What if we expanded your world? For those of you who never read through a book of the Bible without me doing it for you every Sunday for 3 months, what would happen if you read through a book of the Bible as a spiritual discipline? What would that do to you? What if you had that practice, like, as a high schooler, and you're high school pastor, Mark Tyler, leader of 360 Serve, said, once you read the book of James every single day for a month, it's only 5 chapters. It'll make it take you maybe 5 minutes a day. Is that too much to ask from you, Scott? He challenged me. When's the last time you accepted the challenge of a spiritual person calling you to something spiritual? Love that. The more we pursue or look through spiritual disciplines, James, you could give that to us now, please. Thank you. The more you're going to learn, the more experience, the more it's going to make sense. What about your heart and your emotions? You going to change that too? Absolutely. Stuff that bugged you may no longer bug you. You might enter into this really awesome land called progress, where you're dropping stuff from the past behind you because you realize you've been carrying it and it's heavy and it gives you guilt and shame and it was never meant to. In fact, it was supposed to be over and you're supposed to be healthy and move on, because out there through that door, there's another ministry for you where you could do something that actually changed somebody, was a blessing. But you're so stuck in your navel-gazing pity party. I don't mean to shame you. I mean, you're letting stuff sit in here and in here that needs to be taken out. You guys clean the fridge? Sometimes you got to clean the fridge. Get the rotten stuff out. Okay? Your pastor knows this, because he has coffee every Sunday. Oh, very good. Sometimes he fails to finish his coffee in leaving for the day on a Sunday. He may set that almost finished coffee on his desk off to the side, out of the way. I don't want it in the way by the computer or where I study and that kind of stuff. And since it's out of the way for the rest of the week, guess what pastor doesn't see? Almost finished coffee. Fermenting. I had no idea that coffee and a little bit of cream could grow some amazing colors. And I finally realized, oh, well, that's what's going on. I should just leave it there as a reminder that I failed that one time. And every time I see that coffee with the mold growing and halfway up the cup, it's like, wait, it was only like a tenth of the cup coffee, but now it's half the cup. That's weird. I should leave it there as a reminder. How goofy is that thinking? Is it totally off? Stop doing that with your guilt and your sin and your past and your history. Give yourself freedom. You have been redeemed. You have saved. It is finished, he said, on that cross. And one of the guys mocked him. He's not doing so well right now. The other guy said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus comes back to him and says, oh, I like the way you said that, but today you will be with me in kingdom? No, in paradise. That's where you're bound, okay? Now, if we're in the South right now, I would, as a preacher, I would have to say, you all bound for glory, right? To emphasize your value. Learn it, experience it more by experiencing him, by his stuff and his actions. All right, we cover those two? All right, last one. Here we go. Man, Scott's having too much fun today. Look past. Say it again.
Opposition.
Look past opposition. Are you going to have opposition? Apparently. Mary, some people think she's the best woman to ever walk the planet. Outranks Eve for sure. Hey, you know what? This is going to be for the fall and rising of many. People are going to have a hard time with this. By the way, you're going to have a hard time with this. And Simeon never says light and momentary affliction. He says, no, you're going to be pierced as if you were stabbed with a sword. Doug's preaching next week.
Yes.
Look past opposition until you give it to him. Denise, give it to him till you find. What's it mean? How long do you search? I almost, the fill-in this morning for number three was almost going to be as long as it takes. When do you stop?
Never.
I was very touched by the North Carolina State coach, Jim Valvano, when he got cancer and it was a slow death and he was up and vocal and speaking and things for a long time, and it finally got him. In one of his final speeches, he said, never give up. Don't ever give up. Love that. I just wish he was talking about Jesus. He's talking about any other thing in life or fighting cancer. Like, man, it's a great, great human characteristic given to us by God that we might use that persistence of never quitting in our attempt to find him, to pursue him, to search for him. Love that. Simeon waited who knows how long to finally see him. I really want to know. The Holy Spirit says, hey, by the way, you're never going to die until you see Jesus. Well, when's that going to be? Anna, we at least know that went a really long time. Joseph and Mary, they just freaked out for 3 days. By the way, gone for 3 days, and then he's back. Foreshadowing? I think so. Denise, that song we sang earlier, if we could. Oh, by the way, verse 34 on that one is just wonderful on that last point. What's it say? Sorry, glasses. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. What's the sign? It's the sign of God. All right? That's why you can't see it too much here, but on your thing it's bolded, right? 34. Good verse. Let's go back to that slide, the song. I know there's a place I belong. You sang that. I know there's a place I belong. Where I'll see the fullness of love. I'll see, what's, is that a present tense? No, it's not present tense. Guys know that usually my first question is a trick. It's future tense. I will see. I'll, the conjunction, they cut off the W-I. Future. Does that mean you're seeing it now? No. I'll see the fullness of love. What, you got to wait? You got to search? You got to look? A child face to face with my God, lost in your awesome wonder. And the very next one, while I what? While I
wait.
It's expected, at least from the song. I know the song is not scripture, but I believe the author understood his relationship or her relationship with the Lord enough that waiting is absolutely part of the deal. My faith will remain. I will not be afraid. My hope, those are the things you do when you're while you're waiting. Amen? If you have yet to find Jesus, he's right there waiting. He wants a relationship with you. He has forced churches to succeed for 2,000 years to continue to make himself known. He has preserved his scripture, even the weird passages about prophets and prophetesses and losing your kid. He lets a goofy pastor talk about him every Sunday. Why? He wants to be known, and you have an opportunity to accept that. Those are kind of the softer things. The heavier ones is he went through the sacrifice and torture and death on a cross to make a point. Actually, to make many points. How valuable you are. That salvation is possible. That sin has no chains. That death has no reign. And you can be free. He did it to make the point of the heart of God is for mercy and grace and love that is missing in this world. I see it every day on the news. But you can have it. You just got to ask. I want you, Jesus, as Savior from now on. I want to give over control. If that's your prayer, say it. Come talk to me. It's why I'm here. Amen? Lord, thanks for all the ways that you teach us, all the examples you give us. We know, Lord, that we would like comfort and ease and clarity, and yet you choose the best path for our understanding and for our experience. I thank you that each of us as individuals have you, a God who is attentive to every single detail. And you specialize relationship with each one of us, those of us who call upon your name, that accept your Son Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray that you will help those of us who have made that decision. And then help us to connect with those who are making that decision for the first time. Bless this offering, Lord, the same way you blessed Simeon, Anna, Joseph, and Mary. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know. People are going to start thinking you're having fun up here. I asked Cyrus, why'd you go outside? We're in here getting donuts. He said there was a tree, and I wanted to spin around the tree in the landscaping. I'm like, Cyrus, what? Donuts, sugar, pick anything you want. You're outside spinning on a tree in the landscaping. May your relationship with the Lord never be like that. Get inside. See what your options are. Order something. Figure out what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
Bible tells us, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask and you shall receive. May you always seek Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Go with him.